بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد الفتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
صل على محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. We recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the soul of the marhoom. These ayat which I recited from Surah Al-Asr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing the fact that the entire humanity is at loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. So we learn in the light of this verse that all the human beings are losers. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Now the verse starts to make exceptions. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned four exceptions. The first is about the iman. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who have iman. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And the ones who perform the salihat and good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they advised each other about haq. And at the end Allah says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And they advised each other about patience. So this is where our scholars of akhlaq and the scholars of tafsir of Quran emphasize on tahdhibun nafs, purification of our souls. Because what happens is that if these attributes are not found and the person is obeying his own desires and hawa nafs, our sins lead us to a level that a person has total zulmat and darkness inside the qalb. On the other hand, if we protect our iman and certify the presence of iman with the salihat and good deeds, as a matter of fact, iman cannot be certified without the salihat. If the salihat and good deeds are not there, our claim of iman is unacceptable. So we have to certify our iman with the presence of the salihat and good deeds and advise each other about the sabr and haqq. A person who purifies his soul through these four attributes reaches a level where he becomes more honorable in the eyes of Allah than a close angel of God. إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ أَعْظَمُ حُرْمَةً مِنَ الْمَلَكِ الْمُقَرَّبِ. Certainly a mu'min is more honorable than a close angel of Allah. Not an ordinary angel, close angels who are the highest, مُقَرَّبِين. And if we fail to purify our qalb, our soul, fail to perform the tahdhib al-nafs, the destiny is already mentioned in the ayat of Quran in Surah Al-Asr. Isn't it right? That in the insana wa fi khusr, we are in the loss. And the loss, our scholars of Allah say, causes four things. When we are at loss, that means A, it deprives us from the izzat. Anyone who is a loser in his life loses his respect on the Day of Judgment. He is not going to be honored. This is a very, very big thing. Don't underestimate the importance of izzat and respect. Because izzat and respect is something that even a mushrik, even a kafir, a mulhid, even a person who has nothing to do with Allah, an agnostic, would not tolerate, even in the life of this world which is temporary, not just in the life of that world which is eternal, even in the life of this world which is temporary, even a disbeliever would not agree to get insulted. You cannot find any human being who is sane who would agree to get insulted and humiliated. And one of those 100+ names of the Day of Judgment is Yawmul Khizi. Are you right? Khizi means humiliation, dislike, insult. Day of Judgment is Day of Insult, where people get humiliated. Obviously, their sins are now exposed to everyone. All of the people are there, all the angels are there, all the jinns are there, isn't that right? In front of everyone, our relatives, our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our children, isn't that right? Everyone is there, and a person gets insulted in front of billions of humans and all the angels. It's a very huge thing. So, one of the things that scholars have mentioned in the Tafsir, يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْأَرْضِ. On the Day of Judgment, the earth is going to be converted into other than earth. So the land, in the tafsir of that ayat, the scholars have said, the earth will be converted into a flat surface. No mountains, no hills, nothing. What happens when the earth surface is flat? First of all, you cannot run away. Second of all, you cannot hide. Isn't it right? So when the insult is happening, humiliation is happening, because you cannot run away, you are what you are, you cannot run away, you cannot hide behind any valley or any ditch or any, you know, mountain or hill. So this is extremely big thing for every sane person, that what our scholars of akhlaq say, that our khusran and failure of the life, the first thing that it brings is loss of izzat and hurmat and respect in the eyes of Allah. The second thing that it brings for the person is it causes isar. Person becomes asir and a captive. He is in the captivity and isarat of his nafs. So he will lose our freedom, in other words. The second problem of of being at loss and being a loser in our life and failure to maintain those four things mentioned in the Surah Al-Asr is that we end up losing our freedom and we become asirun nafs and a captive at the hands of our wishes and desires and lusts. So people who wanted to do the sins, hawa nafs, one of the very common excuses utilized by the humankind is freedom. Let us be free to choose what we want to do, instead of being under the command of the Creator. So what they ended up with is exactly the opposite. They lost the freedom and they became a captive and asir of their own nafs and desires. The third thing that our scholars of akhlaq say brings about if a person is at khusran and loss in his life, this is a Majlis al-Azaa installed for, established for the sake of the, Baqs al-Sawab ila Ruh al-Marhum. We want to send the sawab to the departed soul, and this is very significant that on these occasions we realize to value the benefit of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is ni'mat of Iman. So the third thing our scholars of akhlaq say, that the loss and khusran brings to the human being, is that it leads the person to a stage that he loses to differentiate between haq and batil. Anyone who is at khusran and loss because of his sinning pattern, the sinning pattern leads the person to a stage where he is not going to be able any further to distinguish between what is haq and what is batil. That's the third outcome of loss and khusran in the life. And the fourth outcome of khusran and loss is zulmat and darkness of the soul. That means a person is going to be totally void, his spirituality is totally void of any kind of noor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the example, what we the scholars say, tashbih al-ma'kul bil-ma'sus, the examples that our scholars of akhlaq have mentioned, explaining this fact of khusran and this pattern of behavior of sinning, is that if you have a pot of over the fire and you have some water in the pot, obviously it's going to boil the water. A time arrives that there's no water remaining and everything has been evaporated, converted into vapors, and the pot is completely white. So they are likening the water with humanity and human values. So when we fail to maintain the human values in our spirituality, what happens is that a person converts his soul. The human values are gone with the pattern of sinning. Now the soul has been converted into, because of the sinning pattern, converted into animals. One, at least one form of an animal. This is why you find This is maybe one of the reasons you find in those riwayat, they are tashbih mentioned, likening of the humans in their surat and forms in the form of different animals when they are resurrected. This is exactly why they are resurrected in those forms. Because we fail to maintain those four attributes mentioned in Surah Al-Asr. So if we fail to maintain those four things, then we are at loss, and this is what's gonna happen at the end. So فَالصُّورَةُ صُورَةُ إِنسَانٍ وَالْقَلْبُ قَلْبُ حَيْوَانٍ. So now the face of this kind of existence seems to be, seemingly he's a human, apparently from his existence and face, but from the inside he's not a human. Instead, it's animalistic, it's a beastly existence. So this is what you find, that our existences on the Day of Judgment, as we get resurrected, our whole existence reveals who we are. Because the kind of sins that a person used to perform is in sync with one of those animals out there. We made our inner self resemble to one of those animals, and now we are resurrected tomorrow, God forbid, in the form of that, in the shape and form of that animal. So anyone who can look at us would recognize what sort of actions this guy used to perform. Isn't it right? So there is no room for the question to be asked on the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَا يُسْأَلُ عَنْ ذَنْبِهِ إِنْسٌ وَلَا جَانٌ. Surah Ar-Rahman says no human or jinn would be asked about his sin. We will be asked about the sins. We'll be questioned about the sins. We have accountability on the Day of Judgment. What does the verse want to say? The verse wants to say, our scholars of tafsir say, that what have you done is not going to be asked. Because what you have done is already obvious from your appearance. What we will be asked on the Day of Judgment is, why did you do that? Not what. What is obvious? Let's have a look at the person. You can see, you know, what sort of attribute, eating the haram food, for example. The batin of this person is nothing like a pig. A person who consumes the haram, his batin, haram food and risk, his batin is similar to that of a pig. So you can look at that and you would discover on the Day of Judgment what kind of pattern of behavior he used to have back then. Person who is doing the zulm, his batin is like a dog. You can just have a look at the person and you can discover what he has done. So there is no room to ask what you have done. What can be discovered by just looking at the face of the person? يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. Criminals will be recognized with their face. يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاسِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ. And they will be caught with their foreheads and feet. So people will be recognized by their faces. The face is enough to tell what they have done. So after this lost situation, and the person gets resurrected on the Day of Judgment, and now obviously in the hellfire, we have people who are going to go into the hellfire temporarily, and we have people who are going to go into the hell forever, eternity. Depending on the sins, as the sins are, the impact of the sins are temporary, and that certain sins have their impact, a constant impact, so those sins deserve a constant, non-stop punishment. Like قتل المؤمن لإيمانه, killing a mu'min for the sake of his iman. This provides khulud, eternal stay in the hellfire, isn't it right? مَنْ قَتَلَ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ. So whoever kills the mu'min person, you know, intentionally, his reward is jaza is jahannam, and he's gonna stay there forever. Likewise, shirk. Allah does not tolerate the shirk. Isn't it right? Likewise, the adawat and bughd of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Anyone who has the bughd of Ahlul Bayt and adawat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, this is how you find this is one of those sins which has the punishment of eternal chastisement from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, you remember the famous hadith where the Prophet has said to, and the narrator of this narration is Salman al-Farsi, where he has said that Prophet said that, Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam that man ahabbaka bi, man ahabbaka bi qalbi bi, man ahabbaka bi qalbihi faqad akhadha thuluth al-iman. Whoever loved you with his heart, that means heart only, not with his lisan, not orally defending the walayat of Imam Ali salam, the person is weak, that's his soul. He is unable to defend the walayat of Ahlul Bayt with his tongue, and not bil yad, not with his hand. Yad is a kinaya and metaphor used in Arabic for practically doing things to defend. So not with the yad, not with the hand, not practically defending the walayat, nor orally defending the walayat of Imam Ali salam. Isn't it right? But at least the person has the belief of the walayat in the heart. So he has the walayat in the qalb. So if a person has the walayat of Amir Mumin alayhi salam in the qalb, فَقَدْ أَخَذَ ثُلُثَ الْإِيمَانِ, he took one third of the iman. One third of the iman relates to believing in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
So after the Holy Prophet, if a person believes in the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he has protected one third of the iman after the belief of Risalat.
And وَمَنْ أَحَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ,
then Prophet said to Imam Ali, whoever loved you with his heart and his tongue, فَقَدْ أَخَذَ ثُلُثَيِ الْإِيمَانِ, he has gathered, he has achieved two-thirds of the iman. And وَمَنْ حَبَّكَ بِقَلْبِهِ وَلِسَانِهِ وَيَدِهِ, and whoever loved you with his heart, plus his tongue, plus his hand, that means practically defending the walayat, فَقَدْ أَخَذَ الْإِيمَانَ كُلَّهُ, he has taken the complete iman.
اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلِي مُحَمَّدْ.
And then at the end, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that لَوْ أَحَبَّكَ أَهْلُ الْأَرْضِ كَمَا يُحِبُّكَ أَهْلُ السَّمَاءِ, if the people of earth loved you the way the dwellers of heaven love you, مَا عَذَّبَ أَحَدَ مِنْهُمْ بِالنَّارِ, Allah would not have punished any one of them in the hell. So it's very obvious. It's very obvious in the light of the of this hadith that Jahannam is a place which is custom created for those who have the enmity towards the walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam and his supremacy. So we find that for some people it's an eternal punishment, and for some people it's a temporary punishment. Ya man sabaqat rahmatuhu ghadabahu, O you whose rahmat is sabiq, takes a lead over his ghadab and anger and wrath. And in the tafsir of this sentence, we have at least two call and two statements from our scholars. One of the call in the tafsir says that this means that, O you who punishes the people after sending the prophets. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first sends the prophets for the hidayat and guidance. And if the people don't honor the teachings of the prophet and deny those teachings, that's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes them. That's the meaning of his rahmat being sabit, taking a lead over his ghadab and anger. That's the first tafsir. And the second tafsir, يَا مَنْ سَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتُهُ قَضَبَهُ, O you whose rahmat is taking a lead over his wrath. The second tafsir says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he sends those whom he is sending into the hellfire because of his rahmat. So it's actually his rahmat which is causing Allah to provide his ghadab over those people. So he is doing the ghadab because of his rahmat. Because you see, the Jahannam, the hellfire, is a place that when the sins are such that once we die, it cannot be cleaned. The soul is such an existence which cannot be cleaned up except through the fire. So the only way for Allah to clean the soul, you know, is through the fire. Now it's the rahmat and mercy of Allah that He sends the people to the hell, you know, so He provides His ghadab and wrath to the people so that they end up getting cleaned up through the hellfire. So their cleaning process requires them to be sent to the hell. And the only other way for them to get cleaned up is obviously if they deserve the shafa'at and the rahmat and the fadl and extra mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please say salawat. So this is where, in order to protect our iman and maintain these four attributes and to avoid the khusran and loss, we require the salihat. And this is where the importance of the prayers and fasting and adaful amana and all those things comes in, isn't it right? And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those people who take care of their amanat and ahd. All the parts of the human body are an amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just the monetary things. The entire sharia is the amanat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire Qur'an and its teachings are an amanat of Allah. How are we behaving towards that? And likewise, the biggest amanat definitely is what our scholars have mentioned in the tafsir is amanat al-uthma is definitely the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wassalam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And likewise, that's where the role, because we have to certify. So there's a difference between Islam and Iman. Al-Imanu yushariku al-Islama, wal-Islamu la yushariku al-Iman. Iman is a partner with Islam, but Islam is not a partner with Iman. Isn't that right? Every mu'min is a Muslim, but every Muslim is not necessarily a mu'min. Isn't that right? So how do we differentiate between a Muslim and a mu'min? The differentiation between a Muslim and a mu'min is here what we learn in the hadith of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam in Kafi. Where Imam alayhi salam says, we already talked about those levels of Islam, al-Waqi'i, Islam al-Zahiri, and Iman al-Waqi'i, and Iman al-Zahiri in those lectures of Sair and Suluk that you know, if you remember, for those of you who are present. So, this hadith in Al-Kafi says, فَمَنْ أَقَرَّ بِدِينِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ مُسْلِمٌ. Imam al-Islam says that whoever confesses the religion of Allah, you accept the Tawheed and the Risalat, you're a Muslim. If you confess the religion of Allah, you are anyone who confesses the religion of Allah, he's a Muslim. وَمَنْ عَمِلَ بِمَا أَمَرُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ فَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And whoever acts on what Allah has commanded, then he is a mu'min. So, al-imanu aqdun bil-qalb wa iqrarun bil-lisan wa amalun bil-arkan. How Imam Ali al-Islam says in that al-Balagha, that iman is tying the knot. Aqd means tying up the knot. That's why in the aqd of nikah we call it aqd, because it's tying up of a knot. So we are tying up the knot of our beliefs, so the belief is so strong inside that it's not going to leave us. So we tie up the knot. So we believe when you believe it with Dalil and Burhan, you are tying up the knots. So you have to believe with the Dalil and Burhan. And then it's confessing with the tongue, we also accept it with our tongue. And we also perform with our actions, with the awa and jawari, parts and limbs of the body that need to certify that the iman is there. So anyone who acts according to what Allah has commanded, his amal certifies his iman. And anyone whose actions are not certifying his iman, that means he does not perform according to what he believes, then he is called a Muslim, but not a mu'min. قالت الأعراب آمنا. You know, قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. So we learn in the light of this verse that the desert dwellers, some of them used to come up to the Prophet and used to say, we are mu'mins, and we have iman. Allah is asking His Prophet to say to them, قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا, say you did not have iman. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا, instead you say, أَسْلَمْ, we have Islam. وَلَمَّا يَدْخُلِ الْإِيمَانُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ, iman still did not enter into your hearts. So we need to act upon things, start obeying the commands of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, obeying the commands, and that's where we certify the existence of iman. So this is where the role of salihat comes in. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Salihat are the ones that verify the existence of iman. He says salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So in another hadith from Al-Kafi, Al-Islamu ma yuhqanu bihi dam. Islam is something with which the blood is respectable, protected, in other words. Wa tuhallu bihi al-furuj. And you can marry with each other. You don't marry with kuffar. We don't marry with kafirs or mushriks, isn't it right? So we marry among the Muslims. Wa tu'adda bihi al-amana, and amanat will be returned back. Wa sawabu ala al-iman. But the reward of actions, the reward on the Day of Judgment depends on the iman and faith. Reward is on the iman. If you end up protecting your iman till your death and you enter the Day of Judgment by protecting your iman, this is where you will be rewarded. Now, how do we protect our iman? Definitely with the salihat. It's through the salihat that we are able to protect our iman. If we don't perform the salihat, there is no way we can be sure that we can be able to protect our iman. وَاسْتَعِينُ, what does the Quran say? وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. Take help from sabr and salat. Allah is asking us to take help from two things. Sabr, which in the tafsir has been mentioned, that sabr in this ayat means fasting. So Allah is asking the mu'mineen to seek help through fasting. Fasting helps. وَالصَّلَاةِ, and prayers. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ, and both are not big. The fast, the prayers is big. Ayat of Quran singles out one thing. وَإِنَّ, not إِنَّهُمَا. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ. Prayers is big except for those who have the fear of Allah. So definitely when we are talking about protecting our iman through the salihat, we must remember the importance of fasting. We must remember the importance of prayers. If, you know, when we want to protect our iman, please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
What sort of prayers? Definitely the prayers with the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Otherwise, you find even in the Battle of Siffin, when the time of Dhuhr came, you know, there was Imam Ali alayhi salam who is leading the Jamaat on this side, and there was the people of Muawiyah who were also doing the Jamaat. And Azan was recited on both the sides. Here is Azan taking place on this side, there is another Azan taking place on that side. They are also praying with Jamaat, they are also praying with Jamaat. So definitely you have to distinguish. This is where our scholars of Akhlaq mentioned that I said in the beginning, minutes of my speech, the aftermath of doing the sins, scholars of Akhlaq say, are four things, remember? And one of the four things I mentioned is
a person loses the power to distinguish between haq and batil.
That's the one of the four outcomes of sinning behaviors and patterns in people. These people have been doing so much sins against Islam, against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that now they could not distinguish between haq and batil. And a time came that Imam Ali ibn Islam even stopped the battle. Isn't it right? After allowing the people of Muawiyah to drink water, when they barred the army of Imam Ali from drinking the water, and soon after that Imam Ali's army grabbed control of the same water and he did not stop them from drinking water. And not just that Imam Ali did not stop, but he stopped the battle after that.
And when some people, there are people who have bad mouths, isn't it right? Even against Imam Ali, people used to talk.
Even against Rasulullah, people used to talk. Isn't it right?
And people started saying, Ali ibn Talib doesn't know politics.
That's why, why do you just allow these people to drink water and then you even stop the battle? What is this going on?
Some people end up saying, Ali doesn't have yaqeen. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's in doubt. If we knew what he was doing, then why were we fighting if he stopped the battle in the middle?
Look at that, how people think they are smart.
And some people ended up saying, Ali, you know, is a coward.
Na'uzu billah min zalik. He doesn't have the shaja'at. All those gossips start. What you find right now against the mujtahids, nothing new.
It's a pattern of behavior of the humanities. Some of the humans doing the same similar behavior throughout the history.
Imam Ali, responded to all those questions and he mentioned, responded to the complaints and he mentioned that Prophet said to me, "An yahdi Allah on the day of Khaybar, an yahdi Allah bika rajulan wahidan khairun laka min ad-dunya wa ma fiha." If Allah guides through you one person, it's better than dunya, than this world and what is in it. Not a $1 million or $10 billion or $1 billion or $1 trillion. Everything what is in it cannot be compared to the highness of just guiding, providing hidayat and guidance to one individual. So Imam Ali Islam shuts down the battle so that in the zulmat and darkness that the army of Muawiyah are drowned into, their darknesses over zulmat of Jahannam, they end up seeing some noor of Imam Ali al-Salam and his amal and practice of Quran, so maybe somebody gets guided. But these people cannot differentiate between haq and batil. This is one of the logical aftermath of sinning pattern. So you find the Khawarij broke away from the battle of Siffin. Is that right? They're supporters of Imam Ali al-Salam, fighting alongside Imam Ali.
And now you end up calling Imam Ali to be a kafir.
How far the jahil and ignorance and lack of political awareness can take a person to. So they fail to distinguish between haq and batil. And Imam Ali al-Salam had said on the occasion of Battle of the Camel that اعرف الحق تعرف أهله. When some people complain that how can you are on haq and all these famous ashab, I don't want to name the list, all these famous ashab are on the other side, isn't it right? And the wife of the Prophet is on the other side and you are the only one who is on haq. This is also another behavior that some people have. They start finding, you know, the personalities, the big personalities on one side. So how can this personality be wrong because he's a big personality? This is not how we judge. Maybe a person is big, but he can make a mistake. We don't judge by, you know, how famous or apparently big a person seems to be. This is not how you judge the haq and batil. A very common illness. So Imam Ali Islam replies back at that occasion, that اعرف الحق تعرف أهله. Recognize the haq, you will end up recognizing those who are ahlul haq, those who belong to haq. So haq first and ahlul haq later. So don't talk about people, persons, individuals, personalities, how big, how famous they are. Leave the personalities on one side.
recognize the haq itself first. Look at the great criteria Imam Ali has got. Even Imam Ali, when he's not there, when Imam Hassan comes, even when Imam Hassan is not there, Imam Hussein comes. When Imam Hussein is not there, Imam Sajjad comes. If we have the criteria, we can always recognize the Ahlul Haq because we have recognized the Haq itself. اِعْرِفُ الْحَقْ تَعْرِفْ أَهْلَهُ. And then he said, وَعْرِفِ الْبَاطِلَ تَعْرِفْ أَهْلَهُ. Recognize the batil, you will end up recognizing who is Ahlul Batil. This is what the people were missing. This is exactly what they were missing. They were mixing up the highness of certain personalities and their highness that they had in their mindset already fixed, that these people are so high and big and famous and all that. How come these people end up doing it wrong, that they are so big and high and famous? This is not the way it works. And this pattern of thinking led them to, some people to even end up thinking that Imam Ali is a kafir. So forget about the individuals, forget about personalities, forget about their highness or their fame. Look at the haq itself, in batil itself. Because these people fail to understand what haq itself is in Islam. What's the definition of haq in Islam? So now when they fail to understand, you end up Muawiyah starting the la'nat and curse over Imam Ali al-Salam from 80,000 members. It lasted, this policy of Muawiyah lasted for 120 years straight in a row. And obviously the same policy that continues today in the form of those evil terrorist people killing the Shias, and isn't it right? And calling them, you know, what they're calling, takes its roots to the same way of thinking that Muawiyah started. So he gets the jaza of everything what is going on. Isn't it right? 80,000 members. And every khatib, every speaker and orator in the complete government, the entire government of Muawiyah, was commanded to start his sermon first by cursing Imam Ali and Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. He has to start his speech with that first, before going forward towards any other subject. This pattern of behavior, this is how much you are going to mix up between haq and batil. So now, these type of people, if the Muslim is part of Khawarij, isn't that right? Ends up killing the leader of the Mu'mineen and the faithful, Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the Shahrullah, in the month of Allah, in the Baytullah, in the Masjid and house of God, Qurbatan ilallah. How far this pattern of behavior, because of the sinnings of the people, can lead them to that he can end up killing the Amir al-Mu'mineen in the Shahrullah, month of God, in the house of God, for the sake of Qurbatan ilallah, in his own, you know, in his own thinking, he thinks he's doing a good job. This is how much crooked and evil these people end up. At the same, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, on the day of Ashura, asked the people, did I convert the halal of Muhammad into haram? In other words, they said, no, you didn't do that. Then why are you up to killing me? And they responded, Bughdan li abika, because of the hatred of your father. This is where the narration says Imam Ali, Imam Hussain alayhi salam, started to cry over the mazlumiyat of his father, Imam Ali alayhi salam. Mawla Imam al-Hussain cried over Amir al-Mu'mineen and his mazlumiyat even on the day of Ashura. So he's the most mazloom and oppressed person is Imam Ali alayhi salam. And this is the belief that Imam Hussain is crying over his mazlumiyat. How much alone, how much lonely is Mawla Imam al-Hussain? How much lonely? How much lack of supporters? When he was asked, you know, by his sister, have you made your mind to die? And Imam Hussain alayhi salam replies back, how would a person not make up the mind to die who has no supporter remaining for him? There is no Hami and Nasir for Imam al-Hussain. He's lonely. Hal min Nasirin yansuruna? Hal min Muhisin yughithuna? Is there a supporter who can support us? Is there a person who can rescue us? هَلْ مِنْ دَابٍ يَذُبُّ عَنْ حَرَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Is there a person who can defend the haram of Rasulullah? This is how the ummah ends up with the Imam al-Hussein is now lonely. How much Imam Hussein al-Salam was relying on his brother Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, was serving as a refuge for Imam al-Hussein. The only personality for whom my Mawla has said that statement on Ashura, when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, his shahadat, the time of the shahadat arrives, this is where Imam al-Hussein, when he's heading towards Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, Mawla says, Al-an inkasara dahri. Now my backbone is broken. وَقَلَّتْ حِيلَتِي And my plan is decreased. How much Aziz and honorable Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas is. He's the only person for whom my Mawla has said, بِنَفْسِي أَنْتَ May my life be sacrificed on you. When Imam al-Hussein says that his life be sacrificed on Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, definitely all of us, the whole universe gets sacrificed. It's still less for Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and his alamad. You know, when Imam, and he comes to ask to go give him the permission to fight, Imam al-Hussein, how can he give permission to his such a dear brother, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas? Anta hamilu liwa'i. You are the carrier of my flag. The narration says, Nazala yabina wa shimala. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas looked towards the right and the left. Where is that army for whom I am the commander? In other words, there is nobody remaining, obviously. Everyone has already become shaheed. And Mawla asked him to get water for Sakina bint al-Hussein. He gets the bag, the water bag, from the girl, from Sakina, and heads towards the Furat. And this is where you find, when Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas reaches the river Furat, and he takes the water into his hand. And he thinks about, the narration says, he thinks about the thirst of Sakina. And he throws away the water and did not drink. May our lives be sacrificed on the wafa and faithfulness that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas has shown. He fills up the water bag container and brings now towards the khiyam so that Sakina can get some water. As he's heading towards the khiyam, and these ashqiya surround him from all the sides, and one shaqi, you know, attacks over the right arm of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. He's still moving forward. He still did not stop. He holds the water bag in the left arm. So maybe he can still take the water to Sakina. Sakina has a lot of hopes attached that her uncle is now going to get water. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas takes the bag with his left arm. And when the left arm, La ba'su lima qata'tum yamini. Now he holds the left, the water bag in the left arm. And when the left arm is also cut, the narration says he holds the water bag with his mouth and still moves forward towards the khayam. So that Sakina gets some water. And now, when Harmal, he throws the arrow towards the water bag and the water falls down, this is where Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas stops. He doesn't move forward. And when Ayatullah Sibawayh, he used to lead the Salat in the Haram of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, and he saw in the dream, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas came and was talking about his musibat and masaib. And he said, Mawla, what musibat are you talking? I recite your musibat, your masaib. And he mentioned, when every shaheed of Karbala fell down, he had his hands there. But when I fell down, my hands were already cut off. So the arrows again penetrated into the body. Imam al-Hussein, see, he's the only person. When Rasulullah used to come at the time of the shahadat of every shaheed, and the drink of kausar is provided to every shaheed of Karbala,
that when Ayatollah Shustari says that Rasulullah provided, when the drink was provided to Abul Fadl Abbas, he's the only person who refuses the drink. Refuses to take the drink of from the Kausar because Imam al-Hussein is thirsty. How much is the love of Imam al-Hussein? Because Imam Hussein is thirsty, how can he drink water? And this is where Ayatollah Shustari says that Allah awarded the laqab of Babul Hawa'is, the door towards the needs of the people. Allah awarded the laqab of Babul Hawa'is to Abul Fadl Abbas.
العلاء تضاح على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منتهي قدمهم إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصحراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن البصراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one سورة الفاتحة and three times سورة الإخلاص for the group of the Marhum.
Thank you.